The content of this podcast should not be considered financial or investment advice. All interviews and discussions are opinions only, and the podcast has been created without taking into consideration the listener's financial objectives, financial situation, or needs. Listeners should obtain independent advice before making any financial decisions. G'day. This is Barry Fitzgerald, Garant Perro columnist for StockEd. Welcome to another edition of the Explorers Podcast. Got an interesting one today in West Africa, specifically Mali, which is well known to people in the ASX market, thanks to Resolute and Barrick and Allied Gold and B2 Gold. Mali is actually the fourth biggest gold producer in West Africa. Now, the company I'm talking about is Tubani. The code is TRE, last traded at 11.5 cents for a market cap of just under $18 million. Now, that will surprise you when we run through the story here, because apart from anything else, the company has a 2.4 million ounce mineral resource estimate under its belt. So it's odd. I think I can say, anyway, that it's well and truly on its pathway to development at some point, given that as we sit here this morning, gold is $2,200 plus an ounce for the first time, so record levels. Now, to fill us in on the Tubani story, we have Phil Russo. Phil is the Chief Executive Officer and Executive Director of the company. G'day, Phil. Welcome to the podcast.
Hey, hi, Barry. Thanks for having me.
Now, Phil, for investors who are new to the company, let's talk a bit about the flagship project, Kabada, which is down in southern Mali. Tell us what you've got there and what the forward plan is.
Yeah, no problem. So we've got the Kabada Gold Project in southern Mali, where all the gold-producing mines of Mali are located there along the borders of Senegal, Guinea, and Côte d'Ivoire. What makes Kabada a different project to other aspiring gold developers is just the abundance of this soft, free-digging oxide material that we have in essentially is one large open pit. So it's about a 4.5 kilometer long pit. This soft rock I talk about, this oxide material, goes down beyond 70 meters, 100 meters in places. And it's that depth of weathering profile that makes it really unique. So our strategy is really focused on that oxide material, as defining as much of that as we can in as higher confidence categories as we can, to underpin an updated feasibility study later this year.
And that's an update of the 2021 DFS, which I think looked at, was it 3 million tonne per annum, 100,000 ounce a year sort of operation?
Yeah, that's correct. And last year we were doing a lot of work to just see, for us, we think the project works better at scale. And I think for us, it's about making the project as simple as it can. So we already know that the metallurgy is quite simple, that the deposit's quite simple. And now it's just engineering, basically a simple, low technical risk project. And we think that is at scale. And I think in the environment that we've got in West Africa these days, we're shooting for as attractive a profile project as you can. And the hallmarks of it are actually all here. We're just sort of putting it all into place with this engineering.
You touched on the oxide material, obviously free digging and simple milling. And I see the company use a phrase quite often: not all grade is equal, margin over grade. Because the grade here is 0.86, which to some people used to the WA, so you might think is a bit low, but the point being here that it can be highly profitable given the free dig, easy mill.
That's spot on. So for us, we're trying to set up this project to be a low-cost structured project, and that's why we're saying put larger throughputs on, put bigger equipment on in place, and really drive those unit costs per tonne down. And if you can do that, which we're confident we can, then you're looking at a really attractive cost profile, and that means really strong economics, and that means you improve your your odds of an outcome here for shareholders, because low cost, simple projects, whether we're the ones that put it in production or someone else, have a home, right? High margin, high cash flow is attractive in any gold market.
Looking at that grade and the depth of 150 meters, it's not stretching things. Two of our most successful companies here, Capricorn and Regis in WA, similar sort of metrics, I guess.
Yeah, well, if you look at Mount Gibson, basically we're a similar profiled project there, other than that's more hard rock than soft rock, as we are really predominantly soft rock. So I argue, and it's mathematical fact probably, that 0.9 grams a ton in oxide is the equivalent to something above 1 gram in a hard rock deposit, right? In terms of the fact that we're not drill and blast, we've got really high recoveries and our strip's really low. So if you do all those things, you know, it's common sense that you can get your unit costs really low.
Now, is it possible to pin you down at all in terms of timing of the DFS update later this year, but last quarter, third quarter?
Not the last quarter, certainly around mid-ish year is our goal, sort of early third quarter is our current timeline. So we're drilling now. That's what we're doing on site, this infield drilling, resource conversion drilling to try and get more of this oxide inferred into indicated. And that'll underpin an update of the MRE and then an update of your ore reserves in as part of your DHS work, which Lycopodium are leading.
I think you were 64% indicated at last report, so well along that pathway. But I was just wondering, you've got 40 kilometres of strike undrilled, apparently. So while you're doing that DFS, I was just wondering what attention are you paying to regional exploration upside?
That program we did last year, it was part of our drilling was focused on those other shears, and done a successful program. We were able to define mineralization on those other shear zones on our tenements, because we're in a highly prospective district here. There's companies surrounding us that are drilling away, and it's clearly a lot of gold there. For us in this type of market that we're in, it's about repositioning Kabada, and so our dollars can unlock, we argue, more value in that Kabada deposit today, because we showed the market last year that there's gold on those other structures.
Now, you're in an interesting part of the world when we look at merger and acquisition activity. Last 3 or 4 years, it's been very hectic over there, and I note with interest in one of your recent presentations, you talked about the company having an EV per ounce of US$5. That was half of what your peers were, $10. Then we make a jump up to US$50 an ounce using the metrics out of those recent M&A activities in West Africa. Obviously, there's a lot of upside to be captured there. I'm just wondering what you see as the key milestones to start moving up towards that US$50 an ounce with or without an acquisition, or without being taken out.
Your numbers are spot on, and that's what makes us most excited over here in terms of the risk reward on a valuation basis is so pronounced for investors at this level. And so I think a combination of delivering on our drilling, which we'll start reporting results next week, defining larger scale project that we think is attractive to a wider audience, so that corporate angle that you talk about, will help us bridge that gap. And so I think people, with people listening to this podcast, you know, they clearly got an interest in gold stocks. They might have some Australian gold stocks. I would say that diversifying your portfolio, some junior golds in West Africa, where you can really get some high return here, is probably smart.
Yeah, it's interesting. The people talk about the West African discount because of perceived, sovereign risk issues. Yet two of our most successful companies, Perseus and West African, they're doing that from operations in West Africa.
Yeah, exactly. And if you look at those companies, they're underpinned by some low cost assets generating lots of cash, whether it's Yaray for Perseus or Sanbrado for West Africa. And we're really fixated on having a low cost structure that our deposit lends itself towards. And not only is it going to be low cost, but the CapEx for an oxide plant in West Africa, you know, we're not breaking records on potential CapEx here and for when the time comes to build this thing. So we think we've got a real differentiated product or project here that ticks a lot of boxes to one day take that step from project to mine. So I think it's something, you know, we talk about at length is we're not just doing a study for study's sake. It's about defining a project that can become a mine. That's how you get value for shareholders. That's how you realize that $50 an ounce you talked about. You have to show a path that this thing can one day be a mine.
Just thinking first production, gold price holds up and the DFS comes out with the upgrade and better figures. Would production be possible when? Back half of 26 or something like that?
Yeah, aspirationally, those sorts, that because we're a permitted project and we've had a heck of a lot of drilling done on the deposit, we're trying to basically put a bow on this project here. And then whether Tabani does it or Kabada, the Kabada project itself could be, you know, approaching production towards that type of time frame you mentioned. So that is a lot earlier than some of our other peers in their pipeline.
How long has the company been involved with the project now?
Yeah, so the new management and new board took over on its new listing a little over a year ago now. And last year was really trying to understand the optionality and the potential of Kabada. Where is it best positioned to realize the value that we see? And now that late last year we landed on that, we appointed like a podium, and now we're out to define and execute that. And that's why we've got a real targeted drilling campaign going on, and we've got some engineering underway to define that project that the market hasn't seen yet. And that's one of scale, low cost, modest CapEx for high economic return.
Now, Phil, just a couple of general questions. Southern Mali, considered to be the most stable part of Mali compared to some of the issues they have up north.
Yeah, that's correct. I just got back from Mali and I met with the Minister of Mines when I was there, and you know, his message to me was that they're very keen to get their industry reinvigorated and to provide that sort of confidence and stability for the broader market. So, you know, they're acutely aware of how important the mining industry is to their economy. And so, I realise that these West African countries are in the headlines these days, but the mines always keep producing. And if you step back and sort of don't sweat the day-by-day stuff, but just sort of take a step back, you see that, you know, you can realise pretty compelling value. You're compensated for being in West Africa with these West African stocks, and none more so than ours.
The actual location, is it populated? Is it farming land? Is there any issues in establishing the operation, you think?
We're only 2 hours by sealed road from Bamako. It's really easy to get to our site. We've got surrounding villages that we've got great relationships with, and we employ them as part of our drilling programs. And so, yeah, we're really proactive on that front in terms of maintaining a good dialogue with those surrounding villages. To be honest, they just want to see a mine built, is kind of the message to me. So if I'm an investor, what are the two things you need for a project if you're looking at you know, geopolitical risk? You know, do you have local community support, and do you have government support for mining? And I think, you know, we tick both those boxes.
That's probably a good point. You're obviously well known in the industry, but for the investors who haven't come across you before, just give us a bit of a pod background on yourself.
I've worked in Australia, Canada, predominantly, you know, two mining centres, combination of Barrick Gold and some other gold companies, and as well as on the capital market side at a US investment bank. So a well-rounded skill set trying to execute our strategy here.
I guess the key question, I've alluded to it, we've talked about it earlier, but the this re-rating of the stock, I'm just wondering, can you, and this will be pulling together some of the things you've already said, but we'll give investors a feel for what milestones to look out for in 2024 to get that re-rating going.
Yeah, look out for drilling results that reaffirm the potential of Kabada. Like, I think we've been flying under the radar somewhat, and I think it's going to be a nice reminder of the potential in this deposit with our drilling. And so that's in the immediate term, and I'll have some engineering updates along the way over the next few months and quarters. So yeah, that's the immediate term. But you know, I think again in this market and maybe any market, hard assets have a fundamental value and a place in the market there. And I argue pretty strongly that it is much higher than where we're currently trading. And it's about taking the steps to execute on that, and we're doing that.
I'm sure, given the heightened activity on the M&A front in West Africa, there'll be a lot of other companies watching your progress as you reach those milestones. So the question I don't normally ask is, I was wondering what the mix of your share register looks like, given there's obviously potential M&A activity surrounding the company, perhaps going forward. So you got any big shareholding blocks there, or is it wide open? What's the story?
Yeah, good question, Barry. For a company like ours, we've got a pretty strong institutional register, I think, which speaks to the potential of the project that these guys see. So Nero Resource Funds are there in a significant way, and also Perennial are there, and Ausbil are there. That's public information on our register. Don't take my word for it. These guys know what they're doing, and they see, you know, some pretty stark value here. Pretty interesting here. So yeah, we've got a pretty clean register. You know, we don't have a lot of shares outstanding. We've got some really good supportive shareholders, and now it's about executing on our goals. And with some patience, I think we're pretty confident we're going to deliver that.
Okay, so there we go, folks. Quite possibly the most undervalued gold stock, certainly, if not on the ASX, certainly in the West African scene, but with a plan to start reaching those milestones that will lead to a re-rating, and the first cab off the rank that the market will be poised to absorb will be the DFS update, which is not that far off now. So with that, Phil, thanks for your time today. Interesting story. Wish you all the best. Cheers.
Exactly, Barry.